This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening the matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth, where we're talking about the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy. Yes, indeed, we're talking about a joy for living. Because let's face it, no matter how hard it is out there, and you look at the stock market, and it can feel maybe soft as well as hard, and how difficult life can be, and how often we judge our lives by how much money we have in our wallet and in our bank account. Let's face it. Despite all of that and all of that craziness, isn't today an absolutely, and this moment, an absolutely fantastic moment to be alive? If for no other reason than it damn well beats the alternative. Yes. And so how can we be the best human beings? If we're going to create all this dough that we want in our lives, how can we be the best human beings we possibly can in its noble pursuit? Well, that's what we address every day that we're on the air, and hopefully in our lives when we're not. And to that extent, we've got a great guest today, Steve Behrman, who also has an alter ego. He is not only a spiritual teacher, if you want to call it that, he's an author, a humorist, workshop leader, and he has an alter ego. In fact, I'd go far as to say an altered ego named Swami Beyanananda. So we're going to talk to Steve and Swami later and find out what's going on with him and what he sees in the world. He also has an interesting book we're going to talk about as well, which is called The 7-Step Plan to Heal the Body Politic and Cure Electile Dysfunction. Well, we may need more of a pill for that one, but we'll get to him in a little bit. And also Dr. Hazel Henderson. Yes, she comes back to make a house call for winning business. And you know why it's winning business. It's because nobody has to lose. And so we'll get to Hazel later, and we'll get to Steve Swami later. But before we get to our illustrious guests, you get this week's family-style bowl of stew. Yes, this week it's family-style because I'm going to introduce you to my family a little bit more here because, let's face it, isn't that one of the reasons that we slave so hard, we work so hard for that almighty dollar? It's for the sake of our family. At least that's what we claim. You know, it may be about proving something to ourselves on some profound level. But also, let's face it, you have people you love out there. You want them to have a rich life. You know, and part of that is making money for them, right? Well, the relationships themselves are, in fact, one of the great bases for our wealth to begin with. And if we have a great quality of relationship with our family, it can add so much value to our lives. And those of you out there know the truth of that, and it's really simple. And my best guess is there's some people out there, listening that may have, dare I say, you know, family dysfunctional relationship or, family dysfunction of some kind as opposed to electile. And it may not be your choice to have that dysfunction, and it exists nonetheless. Well, I'm inviting you to consider here the question of exactly where does family end in the first place? Because maybe you have friends that you call family. Maybe you have people who you have absolutely no blood relationship with that you call family. And that adds to a richness in your life, does it not? That really is unparalleled. And truly one of the joys of living and one of these things that we call inside wealth. So let me share with you a little bit about what's going on with my family a little bit, and maybe it resonates with you. And maybe, hopefully, it will enrich your life, as my life is enriching me as well. So here you go. As you may or may not know, as listeners of this show, I, in fact, have quite a life experience, not all of which I consciously signed up for, but it's mine nonetheless, so I can't ignore it. And I've been married a couple of times, and my first wife, God bless her, her name is Kim, and I loved her dearly, and I think some of you know out there that not all marriages actually are till death do us part, and that we do get to reincarnate in this body, and that sometimes the marriage dies before the body does. And frankly, that was the case here. And I'm going to invoke a game show that you may have heard of or seen with this little British lady with a little kind of tart attitude about her called The Weakest Link. Have you heard of that one? The Weakest Link. I think it's in reruns now. Anyway, she's a little saucy little thing who put everybody down, and every time somebody got wrong, I'm so sorry. You are the weakest link. Well, I couldn't help but notice that each of us, I'll speak for myself, that I am only as strong as my weakest link in my life. And I gotta tell you, my relationship with this woman, Kim, my first wife, has been my weakest link for years. And it's really been, it's been difficult for me, for her, and one can only surmise our children together, and we have two girls together. So here we are with my weakest link. And my daughter, Alana, God bless her, she had a little accident on the slopes and broke her wrist a couple of weeks ago. So there she is in a cast, and being the avid outdoors person that she is, and that of strong will, she wanted to continue with her horseback riding, even with a cast on. So of course, I'm not a horseback guy, but her mom is, and so I talked to her about it. Is this really a risk worth taking? Is this something that we ought to do? Or is this maybe, you know, kind of pushing the envelope a little bit, and let's let her heal before she hops on the horse? No, she's a good horseback rider, yada, yada, you know, doctor approval, and I know what's going on. And I said, okay, I know you love our daughter. I trust you. So she goes horseback riding on a 25-mile ride. No problema. Well, guess where this story is going? Last weekend, she went on a ride on a relatively new horse that they have, about a, you know, only had it for a few weeks, an Arabian. Now, from what I understand now, after the fact, these Arabian horses not only are among the most prestigious of all breeds of horses, it's specifically because of their great spirit. And sure enough, this horse had some spirit that really got the little poker up the you-know-where when some cattle nearby all of a sudden appeared and the horse got spooked. The horse bolted, took off, and I don't know much about horse riding or anything else, but the saddle got a little bit loose through the course of the horse's gyration and moving quickly and all of that. Saddle slides, horse starts veering, Alana on the horse starts going at an angle maybe towards 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and decides to hop off with the horse running full tilt. And she severely breaks her ankle, requiring surgery and pins. So here she is, she already has a broken wrist, and now she has to go in for surgery to repair her broken ankle. And I have the opportunity to address my weakest link relationship in the world. And I gotta tell you, there was a part of me that wanted to lace into her and tell you, I told you so, what kind of whatever you are, and probably, you know, create some new four-letter words in the process. And going to a place of severe judgment. I didn't. And it's just because, one, it's out of my control. It's already happened, literally and figuratively. That horse left the barn. And there's nothing I could do about it. And the only thing I can do is to address this notion, and we've talked about it before, that the ideal of inside wealth is truly nothing short of unconditional love. And how could I bring that to the moment here and address the weakest link relationship in this process. So after asking a bunch of questions without judgment, was it possible that did she have to ride this horse? Could she have ridden another horse perhaps that was a little bit less spirited or a little more tame? Was there any way for her to have hopped off the horse prior to this horse bolting and everything else? And asking some questions and just kind of doing that, all of it in a calm manner, you know, knowing full well, you know, Kim, my ex-wife, she loves our daughter. She doesn't want to see our daughter hurt. She loves her. And is just doing her best. And doing her best to exercise judgment that we all get a chance to question as to whether or not it was, you know, prudent. But you know what? She loves our daughter. Accidents happen. And that's what happened. And in the process of not going to a place of judgment, in the process of saying, you know what, I know you're doing your best, and we're really sorry this happened, and both of our hearts go out to our daughter, whose life is going to be significantly inconvenienced at best for the next month or so, and going through some pain because the surgery did take place, and she's in a lot of pain right now. That's just the truth of that, too, that I wouldn't wish, and you wouldn't wish, on your children, right? That a new level of understanding has occurred, where, you know, I happen to have a son by my second marriage, by my wife who passed. And my first wife, Kim, has now said, anytime you're on business, anytime you go somewhere, we're family. Feel free to have Nathan come over and spend the night, spend the week, whatever you need, because we're family. So I'm here to tell you, everybody, that my weakest link personally has gotten stronger, for which I'm so humble and grateful. And I'm inviting you to consider what your weakest link is and see what you can do to address that. We have in studio Steve Behrman, a.k.a. Swami Beyonananda, who's going to share with us his wisdom, his wit, and whatever else you got going on, and we'll find out what that is. So Steve, first of all, thank you so much for being here, and welcome to Inside Wealth.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And, of course, the Swami is hovering above on his carpet, and I know sometime you'll call him on the carpet and he'll come down.
I certainly will, and hopefully he'll be turban charged.
Absolutely. He's wearing his turban, as you can tell.
Wonderful. But before we get to the Swami, being that Steve is here, let's talk to Steve for a moment. You know, before we get into what you're up to in the world and all of how Swami got created, how do you define success?
Well, this is very interesting. I define success this way. If you can answer yes to the question, from this you make a living, that's success.
You know, that kind of reminds me of the old Johnny Carson shtick. You know, he did the Maharishi Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
Right. His own version of the Swami.
Exactly.
You know, and he says, what is this that you do, this transcendental meditation thing? Is it a, you know, is it a lifestyle? What exactly, is it a philosophy, a lifestyle? What is it? He goes, no, it's a living, a very, very good living.
That's good. Well, it's a lifestyle and a living. And if, in my high school yearbook, it did not say most likely to become Swami Beyonananda. Didn't say that in there. So this is purely generated by magic over the years. I thought I was a college professor. I got laid off from that job, took a job doing tree work for the city of Ann Arbor, Michigan. While I was there, a friend said, let's start a funny newspaper. We did that, and that was my beginning in doing comedy officially. And then the Swami was just a name that flew into my head. And he's been occupying half of my brain ever since.
Okay, so you got a half a mind for him.
I've got a half a mind for him. You know, multiple personalities, which is really the wave of the future. Because if you think about it, you know, one of the biggest issues in, you know, climate change, global warming, etc., is that there's too many people. So if we use multiple personalities, you know, like I heard about this guy. He had 10 personalities. That's efficiency. Because if we had more people like that, we'd need fewer people.
There you go. So what we're talking about here is to really minimize our footprint, to make the most of all the resources, which on some level are limited in scope.
Yeah, some of them are.
Some of them are. Why not have fewer people and more personalities? We get to dig them around and everything like that. And that's also a form of possibly even compressing reincarnation into one body.
That's right. Many, many incarnations, one body. It really saves on wear and tear. And, you can make those changes like you were talking about earlier. You know, I think that really is true, that, you know, in the old days, you had to go through an entire lifetime learning this particular lesson, and now it's all compressed. You can have 3 or 4 or 5 different lifetimes in one. Careers, marriages, you know?
Hey, everybody out there, you know who you are. How many lifetimes have you had in this body right now between your college years, if that's what it was, your careers, possibly marriages or other significant other love relationships, whatever it happens to be? Is it really true that any of us are the same as we were, let's say, 10 years ago, or even 5? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who are, and those people have kind of missed something, I think.
Well, the good news is we get to show up in the moment here, and it ain't over, people, till it's over. So hopefully we can move on here and all have a little bit more of our incarnations and different personalities and let them out sooner rather than later because, I do think the clock is ticking on us in some regard. We've got a little bit less than a minute left in the segment, but I want to talk to you about your site being called Wake Up Laughing.
Is that a reality check for us or what? What is that?
It is. Well, you know, there's two things that are important for me. One is awakening, which really, you know, when they asked Buddha who he was, he says, I am awake. So what that means to me is that we are awake to what life really is, what the potentials really are, who we are in the matter, how we fit into this existence and in this world. And sometimes awakenings can be rude. You know, if we really were to find out what was going on, we'd have a problem. But if we wake up laughing, there is lightness that comes with the enlightenment, and new information can slide in under the radar.
So we're going to focus now. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more from Inside Wealth, where we'll get to the light part of enlightenment right here on Inside Wealth. We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. You have a business, a mission, and a message. Inside Wealth can deliver that message to an intelligent, insightful, and mindful audience. Being a sponsor on Inside Wealth, you become an important player in a win-win agreement where nobody has to lose. Invest in your business and your purpose by calling 707-425-2360 or go to InsideWealth.net and sponsor radio that makes a difference. Inside Wealth, the greatest show on Earth.
Imagine. You're lying in your bed stranded because you can't walk. Your friends and family go about their day, but you're left behind. You can't move without dragging your lifeless legs across the ground, stumbling every step, struggling to carry the entire weight of your body on two arms. This is reality for more than 100 million children and adults worldwide. They simply can't afford the one thing that will change everything, a wheelchair. We're the Wheelchair Foundation. We deliver hope, mobility, and freedom to impoverished people across the globe. And now you can be part of this great mission. A small gift from you can buy a brand new wheelchair and set a suffering person free. You won't believe how little it takes. Transform a life instantly. To make a donation or to find out how you can help, call the Wheelchair Foundation.
Call toll-free 888-378-3839. 888-378-3839.
Are you looking to help give back to the community but need great flexibility? Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, ARF, has a flexible volunteer position tailored just for you. You can share in the triumph of helping an orphan kitten or puppy, as well as receive unconditional love. ARF needs volunteer fosters to provide a little extra time or attention until these animals can be adopted into their forever homes. ARF will provide the food, medication, and support, and you provide the love. Check out ARF.net or call 925-256-1ARF today. Please give puppies and kittens another chance.
Hey, Pete.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Pete, I've been meaning to ask you something.
Sure, neighbor.
Why is it this year your lawn looks so much better than mine? They've always looked pretty much the same, but now yours is thicker, greener, no weeds. This could be embarrassing.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, but no, really. How'd you do it?
Well, simple. I called Scott's Lawn Service. They stopped by, did a free analysis of my lawn, and left me a no-obligation price quote. And now, with Scott's products applied by Scott's professionals, my lawn really looks great. Scott's even guarantees my satisfaction.
Professional lawn care service from Scott's. Hmm.
Call them, neighbor.
With Scott's Lawn Service, you'll never face lawn problems alone again. So get a thicker, greener lawn you can be proud of. Call Scott's Lawn Service for your free personalized lawn analysis and price quote. Scott's Lawn Service is guaranteed, and there's no obligation.
Call 800-481-2300. That's 800-481-2300 for Scott's Lawn Service.
We have more Inside Wealth and Out right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. All right, you people out there. We have Steve Behrman with us, who is, among other things, an incredibly funny guy and has great insights into life and has an alter ego called Swami Biyanananda. So we thought it'd be kind of fun and a little different for this Sunday morning of ours to invite the Swami in, you know, on his flying carpet, call him on the carpet a little bit and see what's going on. So Swami, welcome to Inside Wealth.
Well, I'm glad to be Inside Wealth. I've been outside Wealth quite a bit.
And how does that feel?
Well, it feels like a near-death experience. That's what it feels like.
Well, let's get to a near-life experience.
Okay, good.
So what does the Swami stand for here? How do you become Swami Biyanananda? How does that happen?
Well, this is a one-of-a-time, of-a-kind operation that happened to me. And I woke up one morning and I was Swami Biyanananda. Actually, as a child, I would go into yoga poses spontaneously. Just like that. And actually, when I was a Boy Scout, I got to tie myself into 12 different knots. I was very talented that way.
Okay.
So I started out very, very young, and I have achieved full realization, meaning I realized that I'm a fool.
Ah, full realization. Very
That's
good.
Right.
Very good. Yeah, well, I think if all of us kind of realized our own foolish nature a little bit, we'd probably enjoy life a little bit more, because some of us may actually take ourselves seriously.
Yes, yes, yes. That is called humoroids.
Ah, humeroids.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a very bad problem. In fact, humeroids is an enlargement of the onus, where you feel so much responsibility that your only thing you're ever able to pass is heavy judgments.
Ooh.
Yeah, we don't like that. So that's why I recommend a good laxative twice a day to keep you laughing.
A laxative? A laxative.
Yes, thank you, a laxative. Yes, it cures irregular hilarity. That is a big problem. We need to laugh more.
And make it regular.
And make it a regular thing. Because I'll tell you why. These are very, very serious times that we're living in. Yes?
Absolutely.
And so the best way to overcome gravity is with levity.
You hear that, everybody? Gravity, overcoming gravity through levity. I like it. I like it.
And, happiness is an inside job.
Yes, it is.
It's an inside job. You want to bring it with you everywhere you go. So, because I don't think we are here to earn God's love. We are here to spend it. And that is what I call supply-side spirituality.
Ah, I like it.
When it comes to laughter, be more supplying and less demanding.
Swami, you got something going on over here.
I don't know. It's all channeled,
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, speak softly and carry a big shtick, right?
A very big shtick.
So you're talking about laughter as really being part of it is actually a part of a joke here, people, as you know, on one level. It is about bringing laughter to our lives. On the other hand, this is actually laughing a serious business.
Laughter is very serious business. Yes, it is. In fact, I take my laughter very, very seriously. And people should, because it is one of the keys to happiness. You can actually make yourself happier by laughing, even if you're laughing at nothing. Did you know that? There was a scientific experiment. This proves it to me. They took a group of college students. They put them in a room with really hilarious comedy videos, okay? They took another group of college students, put them in another room, made that second group memorize Croatian parables. And every time they made a mistake, they gave them an electric shock. And the results were conclusive. The ones watching the comedy had more fun.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is the extent that scientists will go to prove anything.
That's right.
It kind of makes you wonder sometimes.
Well, it's like when Norman Cousins, he was a writer. He cured himself of a serious illness by checking into a hotel room with Marx Brothers movies and candid camera reruns. And so after he got well, the medical establishment decided they are going to study the healing power of laughter. And that's kind of like, well, it works in practice, but does it work in theory?
Well, the funny thing about scientists, as you know, they like to have it proven over and over and over again.
Well, that's right. It's a good business. More study is needed.
So tell me, Swami, what do you see of the landscape that we're in here today, either economically or politically?
Well, economically, we've actually we've passed an unfortunate milestone that went unreported. The dollar is now actually worth slightly less than a dollar in monopoly money. And the latest Greenspan report suggests that the average American family doesn't have enough green to spend the average month. So that is the bad news. But the good news is that there will always be wonderful things to do and very important and great talent to do that. And so we need to find the means of exchange so that more things can be done for more people. And we generate real wealth by doing real things.
There are a lot of economists out there, people who are, in fact, scientists of that dismal science known as economics, who say the only way for our world to actually prosper is to have the disenfranchised, the lower 1 to 2 billion people, have their standard of living raised.
Exactly. From the bottom up, from the grassroots up, that is how we do it. We regrow the garden from the grassroots up and have a heaven of a time doing it. That's why we're here, I believe.
And frankly, for my money, it wouldn't be so bad if we pulled out that major weed that's in the middle.
Oh, big fat weed. It is called killing people, right?
Well, I was going to call it the story of original sin.
Well, that's true. That is a very big weed. And unfortunately, in our world, we have original debt because money is coined as debt. And so everybody who comes into the world, they come into the world owing money that somehow, somewhere in the future, they will have to borrow money to repay. And this is why, you know, you may not agree with me, but I happen to believe that the proof is in the pudding as far as trickle-down economics. And they call it trickle-down because on the bottom, we have peons.
And I think we all know that it's rather, you know, we'd rather be pissed off than pissed on.
That's right.
So to speak.
And that is what causes the uprisings, and uprisings can lead to downfalls.
We are here with Swami Biyanananda, and we're going to switch turbines a little bit, if you don't mind, and come back to Steve Behrman here, who is the originator and one of the personalities inside that very interesting body of his. I won't get into that detail. But in any event, coming back to Steve for a moment, because in addition to you're having a hilarious guy inside of you, there's also a very serious side in terms of your dedication to our evolution and expanding consciousness, if for no other reason that you just want more people to enjoy life on this planet.
Yeah, I think that's really what it is. I think that we have so much potential here, and we've been inside this box. And the project I'm most excited about, the serious quote-unquote book that I'm writing, is a book with Bruce Lipton, who is a cellular biologist and author of Biology of Belief, best-selling book. And our book is called Spontaneous Evolution, Our Positive Future Now. And it weaves together science, spirit, the body politic, economics, of course, all on the foundation of biological science, fractal mathematics, and quantum physics. And oddly enough, what science is saying is what the ancient spiritual teachings have been telling us all along, which is essentially we're all in this together, and that we are about to, we're on the threshold. If we hold our thresh long enough, we're on the threshold of evolving to the point where we understand that just as our bodies, our body is a community of 50 trillion cells, and they all figure out how to work together. You know, you don't see the liver invading the pancreas, demanding the islets of Langerhans as its own. You don't see that. It's very rare. And so as we realize that we are a organism of 6.5 billion human beings in the body of humanity, and what's good for one is good for all, and that each of us can have a tremendous amount of freedom and a tremendous amount of connection simultaneously. And that's the future of humanity. That's the evolutionary future of humanity, and we're standing right on the brink right now.
Again, we are here with Steve Behrman, and that point, which is so wonderful that it's being actually borne out through scientific foundation. So it's not simply a matter of, yeah, my God's better than your God, or my spiritual belief is better than yours, or whatever it happens to be, which ultimately separates us into us and them, whoever they are, and whoever we are, and instead place our attention on our one humanity, on our interconnectedness, on our scientific, cellular, and energetic structures, which are in fact completely interwoven and interrelated, possibly no different than fingers on a hand.
Yep, and people are realizing this and waking up to this, and the predominant culture hasn't figured that out yet, so the connections are not apparent. There's a wonderful metaphor, living metaphor, called the mycelium. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Paul Stamets. He would be somebody interesting to have on your show. And he is the mushroom guy. We call him a fungi, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
But he's figured out that these communities of mushrooms under the ground that we don't see is this network of mycelia. And what these organisms do is they digest the bad stuff and produce nourishment. And we see the mushrooms popping up. But the mycelium have been used to digest oil spills and other toxicity. And it's a metaphor for where we are right now, that we are connecting, we are interlinking. Everybody that you have on your show that is resonant with this idea that we're all in this together and we can create abundant wealth for everybody.
Yes.
It's everybody's, you know?
Yes.
And so we pop out of this old story and we begin to design the new story.
In fact, the greatest wealth is truly when we all have it. So it's not simply about Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, whoever it is, marshaling their billions of dollars. Congratulations, guys. You've done a great job. But it's really an opportunity to expand this base so that we can all just enjoy the beauty and magnificence of what this world has to offer if we give ourselves permission and the willingness to see it.
And one of the great things about this book, working with Bruce Lipton, is we dismantle four major myth perceptions, we call them, that have that our society is based on, that are not true. For example, only matter matters, that only the material world is important. Number two, survival of the fittest. Number three, it's in the genes. No, actually, it's in the field. It's in the environment. And number four, that evolution is a random process. All four of those beliefs have been disproved by science, and it just, like those stars that have burned out that we still see, hasn't registered on our cultural radar yet. And so we're hoping that this book will create the foundation for a new story.
Well, the bottom line here is, you want to talk about a new story, let's talk about Oprah for a moment. This is something that's real and grounded, everybody. You know, she had this guy Eckhart Tolle on. You know, his initials are E.T. Take it for what you will. But be that as it may, he's got this book called, he had a book called The Power of Now.
But that was then.
That was then, right? The Power of Then. And now he's talking about a book called The New Earth, which, by the way, with Oprah's support and promotion, has led to over 3.5 million books being sold in just about record time, over 500,000 people taking a webinar on the web specifically about creating a new world, a new earth, based on our oneness, based on the fact that ultimately, beyond our skin and bones, beyond all the structures of our society, we are simply energetic consciousness. And to the extent that we are aware of that, we begin to literally wake up laughing a bit more and not take ourselves and our egos and our personalities and all the fears that any of us have about not being either smart enough or good enough or lovable enough or having enough money or something, whatever the not enough is, and just letting go of it as just being an old story, an old personality that in fact isn't even true, except to the extent that you believe that it is.
That's right. And that's why our beliefs, so many of our beliefs are invisible. They're like air to birds and water to fish. We don't see them. We assume that that's reality, but it's a filter. And so when we start to see that our beliefs are just beliefs, our stories are just stories, then we can go, well, let's see, does that story serve me? Or can I write a different story? And you begin to find out, well, that's not even true.
Well, you know, there is a direct link between our beliefs and the world that has been created. In fact, one could make the cogent case for everything that exists in the material world in this very moment was somebody's belief or somebody's dream that shows up as a business or that shows up as a skyscraper or that shows up as a political economic system. So there is a direct correlation between our beliefs and the structures in the material world. And now it's simply an opportunity, as there is in every moment, to have a new set of beliefs that would create, in fact, a new material world too.
Right. And there we have it. And that's exactly what we're up to. And in a sense that metaphorically, it's like the caterpillar turning into the butterfly, that the imaginal cells inside the cocoon, the new butterfly cells, at first they're isolated, but they begin to communicate with one another. They cluster together. And at some point, there is a shift. There's a tipping point that's reached, and all of a sudden, we're a butterfly now. Same DNA. The caterpillar and butterfly have the same DNA. It's simply different programming.
So everybody out there, all you butterflies in the world, and even if you think you're a caterpillar right now, and you're looking at crawling along here and thinking you're going to be squashed or something, or you're trying to gorge yourself into oblivion, which is typically what caterpillars do anyway, there's really, really good news here. The butterfly is a butterfly, whether the caterpillar realizes it or not, and in fact, cannot be denied. So, happily ever after. Steve Behrman, Swami Beyananda, and all the other personalities you have in there we haven't gotten to today. Thank you so much for showing up.
Thank you. Thank you for having this show and broadcasting it. It's been a pleasure.
We have more Wealth to Share right here on KNEW, 910 AM, San Francisco. Will, ownership, trust, appreciation. They all work in the financial world. And they are all keys to security and wealth beyond measure. And it's all in our book, Inner Security and Infinite Wealth, subtitled Merging Self-Worth and Net Worth. Hey there, it's me, Stu Zimmerman. Come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net and order your copy today. That's insidewealth.net. We're blowing the doors wide open on Inside Wealth right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. And now with us today in our winning business segment is Dr. Hazel Henderson, the futurist, the worldwide syndicated columnist, the economist, brilliant thinker, and a big heart also. So she's got it all going on. And she's the creator and co-executive producer of Ethical Markets, wrote the book by the same title, Ethical Markets, Growing the Green Economy. And Hazel, thank you so much for joining us again. What are you focused on today?
Well, hi, Stu. What I want to look at today is kind of the broader economy than I usually do. And even though there's not much good news in the U.S. right now with the housing recession and the volatile markets and all the rest of it, you've probably noticed that those solar and renewable energy stocks have done pretty well. And here's the thing I want to talk about. You know, as we know, the stock markets today are driven really by mass media. And they often exaggerate the downturns and the upturns. And they're also driven by outdated classifications that those security analysts use. And, you know, the kind of the older industrial sectors of our economy. They talk about the utilities and retail and transportation and pharmaceuticals, you know, and energy and stuff like that. And so what happens is that a lot of these new companies that are doing so well, like solar and wind power companies, are lumped in that energy barrel along with coal and oil and nuclear. And you'll find the organic foods, for example, which are a huge growing sector, they get lost in agriculture. And then you find all those cleaner, greener, more efficient technologies, they get lost in the IT sector along with eBay and Google. So what I'm proposing is a whole new asset class of these companies, and I'm going to call it the sustainability sector, so that investors could find out how all of these new cleaner, greener companies are doing. And they would include the renewable energy group, the clean foods, the preventive healthcare, the fitness, the spas, the supplements, the organic agriculture, and so that Wall Street analysts could show us this whole sector and how rapidly it's moving. And I think in this way, you know, not only would we see for the first time, you know, this green economy every day on those stock charts, but it would help grow it. What do you think, Stu?
Well, as a former money manager, I get to put on that cap here.
Okay.
It's a great idea.
All
and,
right.
And for a number of standpoints. First of all, when it's practical, and we all know that Wall Street is concerned with their own bottom line first and foremost.
Yeah.
And to the extent there's actually demand for people wanting to invest in sustainable companies across numerous industries,
yeah,
that is something that I think would play really well, whether it's with one of the family of mutual funds or a number of them, or even with some of the Wall Street firms themselves in terms of the funds that they create. And so
it makes so much sense.
Now there is this thing called socially responsible investing out there that we've all heard of.
Yeah.
And well, I'm hearing a distinction here that there's a distinction between sustainability and social responsibility. Is that
Well, I think eventually, you know, they're all going to roll into one and become mainstream. I mean, that's what's happening with socially responsible investing. I mean, the last time I looked now, there is this group called the UN Principles of Social Responsible Investing. They are up to $13 trillion, with a T, worth of assets, mostly in pension funds. And then there's another group called the Carbon Disclosure Project. They have $41 trillion, you know. And then the Ceres Coalition up there in Boston, and they now represent assets, about $3 trillion worth of assets. And so I'm thinking, hey, look, socially responsible investing is kind of mainstream now. And we're focused now on how do we see this new green economy rising every day on, you know, on when we turn on a financial news show. And I think that they'd probably all fit into a sustainability sector, and that would probably include the socially responsible funds.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the big money, as you're talking about, these major pension funds and that sort of thing, the big pools of capital, unless it's a GE or one of these major or a Microsoft with a huge market capitalization, they don't invest in stocks.
Right.
They invest in sectors.
In sectors.
And so to the extent that the whole sector can get of sustainability, can get a boost by virtue of being basically reorganized in ways that they appear more visible.
Right.
What that does is it creates greater demand for their stocks in aggregate, which gives them a cheaper cost of capital in going to the market for additional shares that the companies want to raise more money to expand. And that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, great. I'm so glad you agree with me. So let's talk to asset managers that you and I know.
Hey, so when was the last time I disagreed with you?
Well, I really enjoy being on this show, too.
Hazel, you're fantastic. And you know what? I am going to bring it up.
Good.
And I'm inviting our listeners out there, many of whom actually have sizable portfolios. Uh-huh. So here we actually get a call to action. Would you please talk to your brokers, talk to your money managers, your private wealth managers, whoever else you have out there who's advising you how to run all those zeros, and ask them what their thoughts are on it and get the ball rolling, because simply it's a matter of if there's demand for it, we know it's going to show up.
Yeah, I think it would make quite a difference. So thanks for letting me bounce it off you.
Hazel, thank you so much for bouncing it off. It feels great.
All the best, too. Take care now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so let's ground the sustainability thing a little bit further. What can you and I do today to take a step in a direction of doing business in a way that really is sustainable and getting services and products from companies that are sustainable? Obviously, the investment equation, Hazel Henderson gave us some great ideas, but let's ground it to today as well. One thing we can all do is come to our website at insidewealth.net, because we have a referral network. We've got a group of business service providers or personal service providers that walk their talk, okay, that are dedicated to an excellence of service. People like Hutch Ashew over at Pillar Financial. He's a money manager, a private wealth manager, and basically helps to allocate your assets in ways to empower your dreams. Empower, have the money work for you. And it's a very personal conversation. This is definitely not one size fits all. It's definitely not throwing you into the pie chart and seeing what spits out. Another example is John Menke at Menke Associates, who are like the granddaddies of employee stock ownership plans. So if you have a company where it's about time to share some of that wealth and expand the pie, you want to talk about sustainability, that's a great way to do it. Menke and Associates are the best of the best. And that's who we are. These are examples of the kind of people and service providers and business people that we are grounding this notion of what inside wealth is from a philosophy standpoint in terms of nuts and bolts and everyday business. So come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net. Because, you know, we are here to be of service. We are here to help you live and inspire you and empower you in all the ways to live a wealthier life. And frankly, if you've got any questions that you want to have answered, either by me or any of our guests ever, past, present, or future, just drop me a line at stu@insidewealth.net. So if you have a question for Hazel, or a question for the Swami, or Steve Behrman, or me, stu@insidewealth.net. Send it in. We'll actually not only answer your question directly to you via email, we may even put you on the air and have that question put on the air and discuss it wide open because, you know, we are all in this together. And that really was the premise of the Swami and Steve's comments. And let's talk about Steve for a moment. Forget about his comic alter ego here just for a moment and just focus on the serious side of Steve Behrman and his work with Bruce Lipton, who is an extremely well-known and highly regarded scientist. And this whole notion of us truly all being in this together, literally, figuratively, scientifically, proven and borne out by science, is something that will change our planet. It will. It just will. It's going to change all of our lives. Because imagine for a moment that we spent more time, just more moments of every day, focusing and remembering that we are all in this together, that we're all made of the same stuff, whoever we are. And that goes beyond our personalities, it goes beyond our political preference, it goes beyond our gender, it goes beyond our economic shoe size in terms of who's got what money and what strata we could possibly be in based upon our scorecard in life known as dollars and cents. And go beyond that. Hopefully, to go to a place, as we talked about in our bowl of stew, with another way of taking a look at it is asking the question, where exactly does family end? Because we are all in this together, we all have these relationships, don't we? You know, they're not just blood relationships. You must have friends out there, people you know that you absolutely love. Not because you were born of the same blood to them, not because you were raised under the same roof. Just because they're fun and they're caring and you got great times together. And it can really just be that simple. It doesn't have to be, you know, heavy. And so as we talk about how we can be growing as human beings, or you talk about expanding consciousness, which sounds awfully heady, you know, we can bring a little Steve Behrman into view here, into light. Because it can be with a sense of levity and a sense of laughter that we kind of understand, you know what? We take ourselves so seriously at times. We do. And to the point where we can really be living in a sense of fear because there is so much that's out of our control. And we see that every day. We see that every day in the papers, right? And all the press in terms of all the us and them, all the ways that we need to be afraid. All the ways we need to, you know, not only defend ourselves, but possibly even be the aggressors and do it to them before they do it to us. As if there really is a them. Which really does beg the question here, what if there is just us, you know? And that we are doing the best we can. And if we can see through the divisions that keep us apart, whether it's based upon where we've grown up, or based upon how we pray or choose not to pray, is something that is so huge and infinite that it's supposed to be beyond the human mind to fully comprehend anyway. So why do we pretend on some level that we do know exactly how it operates and it's our way? And go beyond that. And go beyond that to a wealth that we can all tap into. This inside wealth of doing our best as human beings. To care for each other, to be of service to each other, which, you know, is an amazing thing. You know, I'm building this business here called Enjoy Media, and I got to tell you, it's amazing what is showing up as we continue to ask, how can we be of service to you? How can we have the greatest impact in your life? Because as we continue to ask that question of our potential clients or potential partners, it becomes a big conversation. And you know,
it's an interesting thing. One of the ways that there is this exchange in terms of being a true service to somebody and providing value to somebody, it's with money. So there's a direct correlation between this thing called inside wealth and the outside wealth. There really is. This is not just a theory. It's not just a concept. Thank goodness. It's simply a matter of what we can put into practice. And the good news is we have all kinds of people to use as role models who've come before us who do just that, who have been servant leaders. People like Abraham Lincoln, if you want to talk about it from a you know, the political standpoint. Or a Walt Disney, if you want to talk about it from an economic standpoint. Where he brought lightness, he brought love, he brought the happiest place on earth to us all in the form of Disneyland. And he wound up pretty good for himself, didn't he? Dedicated to excellence. Well, I'm inviting you all, as we wind up this week of Inside Wealth, one, to take a look at that weakest link of yours and see what you can do in terms of relationships to take whatever that weakest link is to a new level. And I think you'll find that that's going to create the container for a richer, richer life for you. Until next week, invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet.
Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at insidewealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW.
It's amazing how little things can make such a big impact in people's lives, like how a 5-inch landmine can rob a woman of her legs, how the tiniest bacteria can paralyze a child forever, or how a small gift from you can give that person a wheelchair, instantly give them mobility, give them dignity, give them hope. There are currently over 100 million children, teens, and adults in desperate need of wheelchairs. Adults who want to go to work so they can feed their family. Children who want to go to school. And a small gift from you can help them get there. Funny how a $75 gift from you can be such a big deal to someone else. To offer a donation or to find out how you can help, call the Wheelchair Foundation today. Smile. You're about to change someone's life forever.
Call toll-free 888-378-3839. 888-378-3839.